Hello, welcome to Springs of Zion podcast, where I love to talk about encountering God. God is raising an army of believers who seek His springs in Zion. These waters of revelation are important to strengthen and empower our walk with God. The Lord is calling us to be one heart and one mind. My hope as your host is to be an encouraging voice in a world that has literally gone mad. So, to begin with, let's pray. Father God, please cover this podcast message today with your heavenly protection to open ears, eyes, and hearts as I share your word, and that your spirit leads this time and allow each one listening to respond for your sake. I ask this in your name, holy name of Jesus. Amen. So this week, the Lord has taken me to 1 Corinthians, and He's really still talking about our appointment. Each of us have an appointment on earth. The devils and principalities ruling the earth want to hide this from each and every one of us, making us feel small and not worthy, even to the point of not mattering. But it's all lies. Regardless, each one should lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. And I'm here to tell you, you are right where God has placed you. When you come into agreement with this truth, His plans open. And you're able to live, obey, and love all those around you. Start to believe this right now, as you are right where God has put you. This message this week comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. I want to suggest that you go and read the book for yourself, and the Holy Spirit, as you're listening to what He's sharing, will drop things in your spirit. And I want to encourage you to also read Bible commentaries. There's several applications out there that you can just load on your phone and read, and it'll help you get a better understanding of what God's trying to say. Our understanding of Scripture is so important. We cannot manifest what God has for us within us if we don't understand. So we want to walk in what God has for us. So we must seek these treasures. Ezekiel was in Babylon in chapter 7, and he's speaking to Israel. His most important listeners and immediate listeners were fellow exiles. Christians were the exiles in the Bible. Yet at the time he spoke this, Jerusalem had not yet been destroyed, and Judah had not been completely conquered. This was a message to the land of Israel to announce the coming judgment upon them. He's telling them God would judge them according to their ways. God promised to bring simple justice to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. As a kingdom, their ways would determine their judgment, and the judgment would be severe. He was saying, "My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity. I will not spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and for the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel chapter 7, 1 through 4. Prophetically, Ezekiel could see the end for the land of Israel. No place would be spared. There would remain no land under the control of the tribes of Israel. Their party, quote unquote, of rebellion and idolatry was over. Now the end had come upon them. The purpose of these verses is to hear God is calling for refinement. Over the pandemic, we have been stressed and weary and struggling, and God has used every moment to refine us. And the weariness of this has created such a desire within each of us. We really want to hear from God. He's opening more up to us by refilling us with His oils of His Spirit. This season of refinement is to ready us for the church of His harvest. Our first step is to believe God has a way out for us. In this season, our belief has increased and we feel His nearness. We are drawn to Him, maybe even like we haven't been drawn in years. Many had lost their passion and they didn't even realize it. But now, as we're given victory over areas in our life that we've had problems with, we've suffered with, just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we've had blindness and dryness, God is restoring this. This new freedom has God pouring out His Spirit over us. A new passion has awakened. He is transporting us. It could be even ground shaking, like the Church of Ephesus in the book of Acts. You're probably noticing your conversations and your actions are starting to glorify God. We sometimes think we know all we need to know, but in reality, without a humble heart, our spirit cannot guide us. And our spirit wants us one heart and one mind of God. We're starting to feel less competitive. We're starting to have empathy for others. It's actually shocking to us. We're offering up help when we normally wouldn't. It's a glorious feeling. This is walking in freedom. Your serious concentration on the Lord has opened your spiritual eyes. You have new understanding. Just like when Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whomever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." We read that in John 4, 13 and 14. The well within you is beginning to well up. I love this. Come on, you guys. We're God's tabernacle. Once we have overcome wounding, battles, finances, whatever they are, marriages, broken relationships, once we've overcome and forgiven and got healing, our well begins to well up. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, His living waters come by ways of dreams, visions, words of knowledge, prophetic words. I mean, the list goes on. He drops things in our spirit. Like today, I heard Him say, "Time to go. Let's go. Let's go." Meaning, "Let's go, Angela. Tell Him let's go. You guys, step into this if you haven't already started." His mysteries rekindle or even spark a fire deep within us to seek Him. We will be amazed by the newness of hunger we have for Him and by the clarity of hearing His voice, just like Ezekiel chapter 8. I've shared on many occasions my visions and dreams, and each one literally grips me. I feel His Spirit so strong within me. It's amazing. It feels better than anything. And this is for you too. In my journey, when I discovered God had shared things through dreams, these are His living waters. These are the waters welling up in me to share. And He wants this for you too. I heard a prophetic woman speaking, saying that God has bundles of people. These bundles are pouring out into other bundles. And I just love that, because that's what's happening on my blog or my podcast. A group of people are listening and then they go off and they share, or the Spirit is now dropping in your spirit words that are encouraging and strengthening you. So cool. Just like the people in Acts, when Peter and John were instructing the people, the priests, the chief of the temple, the police, and some Sadducees, to proclaim the resurrection from the dead had to take place within Jesus, Acts 4. Peter and John were telling him, you have to understand the resurrection of Jesus in order for your spirit to rise. As soon as Peter and John were left to go and find their friends, they told them about the high priest and the religious leaders. Having shared their report, everyone immediately came to prayer. And while they were praying together, they're in one body, their meeting room shook. They were all filled with that second pouring of the Holy Spirit. And God continued to speak through them with fearless confidence. This is happening to you right now. This is happening in all the bundles across the world. The whole congregation of believers were united as one. One heart, one mind. This is what I believe God is doing. He's gripping his church to become one heart. To move in a corporation so that we are the body of Jesus. Jesus is the head. We are one huge body together. And in this, there is power. The power of the resurrection of Jesus was given to all. We will receive more from God who made heaven, earth, and the seas for this generation. When we argue with one another over politics or religious beliefs, we're not glorifying God. God wants unity. His power comes through unity. Our division within our house of God is of the enemy. Recently, my father was here visiting, and we don't agree on the world's troubles. And I kept saying, Dad, can we just agree to not to disagree? And he wouldn't. And finally, the Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit. And I said, Dad, how is this conversation glorifying Jesus? And he said, it doesn't. See, this assignment, calling it out, cancels the plans of the enemy. The division between believers is considered scattered seed. We're told by Jesus while sitting in a boat by the sea that only those close to God's kingdom have eyes to see and give an insight. He said, whose eyes are open but don't see a thing? Whose eyes are open but don't understand a word? Avoid making about face and getting forgiven. Mark 4:12. Meaning, those who don't see or hear, we forgive them. We can't hold anything over them. They won't see it until it's open to them. When we move or shift past these man-made doctrines, deceptions, beliefs, seeds, we enter God's body of ecclesia. It's so cool. Jesus said, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Be wary of the shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead. We are to be generous givers. And I'm not talking just finances. We're supposed to have empathy and feelings of sorrow for others. We're not supposed to be fretting and covetous. God's given seed will fall onto gravel if we carry these things. And this allows the enemy access to us, snatches our anointing away from us. If we're finding lots of spiritual warfare, we have divisions within our hearts. Could be jealousy. It could be, condemnation. Pray for God to show you how to forgive, how to heal, and shift your fear to belief to pass over this dark assignment over your life. If we have stress and worry of things to come, our seed is strangled and we cannot hear God. If you can't hear God speaking, spend time. Ask God, tell me, show me God, bend me. Show me the obstacles that are located within my land of my heart. But the seed planted in good soil represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Literally, God will send you dreams, visions, words of knowledge as you read his word or you sit and listen to him. This is what he did for me, and he's opening this up to all of us. This is a special time in history. These fertile seeds mature in God's kingdom as they are watered by his fountains, springs, rivers, and wells of intimacy. When we're alone with him, he goes over everything, sorting out all the tangles and untying all the knots until our seed is fully formed and it's harvest time. Hallelujah. It is harvest time, you guys. The Lord keeps saying over and over, my ecclesia, my governing body, shall drink from my flowing waters to restore their seed placed within their temple. I am bringing my body to life. They will feel a surge of my power to heal their mind, body, and soul. When our mind, body, and soul are healed, we become in unity with our spirit. And our spirit is the conduit to God's spirit. Holy Spirit connects us to God. When the church becomes God's body, moving as one, I believe America will be restored. I do. I believe America will be restored and every other nation. Every night when I wake up, because the battle is real, and every podcast is more battles, but I just know God is bigger and He can take care of everything. And you know what? When I start, the enemy comes, and I start praying for the inequity of my nation's leaders to be bound and revealed and healed by God, the enemy just literally flees. And then I go back to sleep. And I do this several times a night. The enemy does not want our governments, no matter where you're listening. Pray for our government. God is going to restore us. If we look at the book of Exodus, Moses was directed by God to move the whole company of Israel in stages from the wilderness of sin. They set camp, and there wasn't a drop of water for them to drink in that entire camp. They complained to Moses because they were thirsty. The people were getting mad as they complained to Moses. Why did you take us from Egypt and drag us out here into the wilderness so we, our children and I, can die of thirst? The people made Moses nervous. He was getting a little scared because they were getting a little up in his, you know, craw. And he said to God, if you don't do something, they're going to kill me. God told Moses to go out ahead of the people, which is what He's telling you and me. Go out ahead of my people. Take with you some of my elders of Israel. Take the staff used to strike the Nile to separate the Red Sea and go. I'm going to be present with you there on that rock, rock of God, in Horeb. Horeb means dryness or dried up. And He tells Moses to strike the rock and water will gush out of it and the people will drink. Isn't that what we're doing here on my podcast? We're striking the rock and God is giving us revelation to drink. I love this so much. I couldn't even make this up myself. Moses does as he's told, and the water becomes available to the people. He names this place the testing place, and then there were two places they were camped out, the quarreling place. I just think it's hilarious. If you go and look up these cities in the Bible, in Hebrew, it makes it easier to remember the story, but it's kind of laughable. God is here with us, you guys. It's typical of the Lord when He's teaching me to shine light on scriptures, to have faith that He is here with us working right now. He knows exactly what's going on in our governments. He's on the throne waiting for His church to realign themselves with Him. This church movement, this ecclesia, is the remnant spoken of in Revelation. So, as I'm cleaning the dishes, the Lord always speaks to me. Sometimes it's just for me. But this week, He said Kamloops. I have been to Kamloops. It's a city in British Columbia. But this message, I think, has two folds. First, no matter where we're traveling or regardless where we are in our spiritual journey, our faithfulness to God will help us enter His ecclesia. The symbolism of Kamloops, if you look on the map, it's a city at the, so the, there's a river called the Thompson River. In the Thompson River, the south and the north are joined at the city of Kamloops. God is joining these two rivers. I get the chills when I say that. God is joining these two rivers. Man has divided us in religion, race, some, you know, wake, whatever the political thing going on at the moment. God sees us as one moving corporation. We become like a river. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17. The ecclesia is the highway or transportation system once believers come into agreement with this truth. All man-made religions will pass away, or the cross will rise above it. I'm not exactly sure how this looks, but Jesus will be picked up and carried. We'll just carry our crosses. This statement, it just is amazing. All things will pass away except Jesus. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through these waters, I will be with you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Luke 29:22. Saints, God is asking us to pray his ecclesia into action. The truth will set so many free from the kingdom of darkness. And we have confirmation of this in Psalms 148. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. The horn of his people. There's more to that. Next podcast. I want to follow up with before I had the Kamloops and doing the dishes, I had a little dream real quick before I woke up. And I don't dream in color. So when I see color, I'm always like, whoo, what's this in my dream? And it was a doorway full of flowing light. As I got closer to the door, it was open. I could see this doorway was taking, it was a new position I felt in my spirit, or anointing for the body of Christ. I heard the Spirit say, this doorway takes you to my harvest. More lockdowns are coming, but those willing to enter this doorway will enter my land of abundance. Many mountainsides will be dry like a desert, but not those who enter my mountain. This mountain of mine is my church of ecclesia. The key to this door is found in your secret place of prayer. Come to the door, step inside. As I stepped through the door, I noticed a black rug or a dark rug mat on the floor just inside the door, and it read 17:11 in bold white letters. And then I woke up. I did some research on it and did some praying, and I waited a couple of days. And the doorway, I heard, is an increase for those who will respond in faith and obedience to the Lord in this ecclesia moment. Moment, you guys, not movement. An increase of strength, vision, and spiritual perception. An increase of wisdom and strategies. God is taking us to another level of seeing and hearing by His Spirit. He's increasing our awareness of the authority we have in our speaking and our praying. Our confidence in Him is increasing. Our boldness is increasing, and we will remain steadfast at our posts and watch as Holy Spirit works through our obedience to set things in motion so that the word of the Lord is activated to accomplish His plans and intentions. In the days that follow these words and dreams that the Lord gave me, He also had me look up Kamloops. And it was a trading post that began in the 1800s. It also had the first church, Christian church. And I got a picture real quick the following day of a church. And it got me thinking. So I looked up, and there was in Kamloops a church that Christianity church in 1821. The trading concession was sold to the Hudson Bay Company, who moved in its trading post to Kamloops in 1862, right before the gold rush. Kamloops became the service center for cattle ranching, lumber, economic activities, as there was a copper mine nearby as well, and an Indian reservation for fur trading. We can't miss the symbolism here, you guys. Kamloops was perfectly established right there on the Thompson River, where the North and South rivers joined, so that there could be a trading post. And God placed a church there too. We're about to enter this glorious Kamloops spiritually, or trade route. We must abide in God. Our trading post merchandise is His wheat, wine, oil, balsam, spices. These are the fruits of God. These are our trading posts, John 12:24. Then the Holy Spirit led me to Luke. You know, Luke was a doctor, and I am really enjoying the book of Luke. He says in chapter 13, people will come from the east, the west, the north, and the south to recline at my table in the kingdom of God. Those willing to enter will be released from their years of bondage on this Sabbath day rest. The people entering the ecclesia, the movement of God, this moment is about loving God's people. I can't forget to mention also the key to that mat, 17:11, in my doorway of my dream. It's also my verse for my podcast. I don't know if anybody's gone to my blog. And my blog is about being a Berean. A Berean is someone who digs and looks at scripture. And everything I know and share, Holy Spirit has taught me. And our world's religious system has taught man to find God in church. But God wants you to find God at home, sitting on the couch, soaking in his river. God is saying, yes, sure, go to church, but come to me for the intimate training and fellowship in your living room or your front porch or your car going to work. Become a Berean, a noble character of God. Study the scriptures every day. God is releasing hidden manna for this generation in his word. No man on earth has been given this privilege. Wow, let's not waste this opportunity. Our takeaway here is to stay seated with Christ. Seek him in your secret place of prayer. For he's seated at the right hand of God, a place of revelation, wisdom, and safety. Until Jesus arrives in the clouds, Mark 14:62. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you as a kingdom, just as my Father conferred on me. 30, so that you may eat, verse 30, drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on my throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, Luke 22:28-30. The entire nation of Israel accepted God's covenant at Mount Sinai, but most of them failed to obey the Lord and died in the wilderness. And the years that followed that nation's entrance into the promised land was problematic until God moved. Last week we discovered how God sent Gideon in Judges 6. The people had gradually declined spiritually so much that it was the remnant, the ecclesia, that prayed and obeyed God and begged God in their sleep like I am every night. The remnant are the ones the Lord has mercy on. And plans to destroy those who come against them. Jeremiah 47. We are, in fact, living the days of Ezekiel, my friends. The world looks different. Our culture is evil. And the hearts of man are complacent. No one is praying day and night without ceasing. God will not have mercy on our countries, our nations. He will not give us favor unless we begin to pray. Glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. By his power, he can do infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine. God's glory belongs to God in the church and in Jesus. For all the time and eternity. Ephesians 3:20-21. According to the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, God always saves a faithful remnant. Today, those of you who are reading my blog and listening to my podcast, you are God's remnant. And you are the important key and plan that God has. Our spiritual peace is our guide as we plunge forth through the open door to our appointment positions and abundant harvest. If you have peace, you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. and I will remove harmful beasts from your land, and the sword shall not go through your land. Leviticus 26:6. No matter how big or small we play in this part that Jesus no matter how big or small we play a part in the body of Jesus Christ, God planned it all. Our collective prayers to make us a corporation or movement of the Church of Ecclesia is God's restoration plan. Just like Gideon, we must pray for God to come. Save America. Save our nations. Save our children. Join me. I'm praying every day. Move, saints, move. Align yourselves with God. Stop listening to the lies of the news. Stop worrying about the politicians. Instead, pray, God, rise up a strong government. Take down evil leaders. Tear down leaders of darkness in our cities, communities, and nations. God, move. Let us be praying to bend us, reform us into his little honeybees to carry out his kingdom assignments. After all, we've been delivered from Egypt, haven't we? The ways of the world. And we have been given new eyes to see and new ears to hear. It's God's time. With God, everything works out perfectly. We pray to the Lord God that he declared restoration on America and every other nation too, of their corruption seed of iniquity. Burn away the chaff, Matthew 3:12. We shall go forth to worship the Lord God. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Father God in heaven, in advance for setting your captives free. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for each and every one of us. We have about 3 months. It's been confirmed prophetically that God is moving in September. So let's get our garbage taken care of and let's just rise up and praise God and thank him in every circumstance. Take care. Bye-bye.